He Said, She Said, also known as Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, that was a good one.
I was practicing.
I think your threshold and tolerance from a lung capacity point of view is improving.
Oh, right. That's because I'm going up the gross grind with Laura.
That's right. You're grinding now, aren't you?
I'm grinding now, but I'm not competing this year. I swear I'm not competing. And you know what? I really look forward to going again because this competition thing just wears me out just mentally. Because I can't go any faster than I'm going. I just, as far as I'm concerned, I cannot go any faster than I go. And when I just took my time going up there, I really enjoyed it. And I looked forward to going again.
So it wasn't so much of a grind.
Yeah, I had to stop a little bit. Say, Laura, slow down, slow down.
Well, if you're pushing and really grunting
and
groaning.
That was the first time for the year, right?
Yes.
And everybody was going up slow. So.
Well, you have to adapt. It's a different kind of activity, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Going uphill.
It's mentally exhausting, too. And, you know, you hurt your neck sometimes because you're looking down all the time. You have to look where you're going, and that's looking down, right? So if you're not used to that, and, you know, just the leg capacity and using one leg, you know, using the left leg and the right leg, not just using the right leg all the time, going up the stairs.
So you're looking down. You ever find any money on the trail?
No, unfortunately. Found some other things, but no money. Some people stop and actually have a cigarette. Can you believe that?
Oh, I can believe it.
And some people wear jeans and they wear high heels. It's like, don't you do your homework before you climb this thing?
And some people are really scared of being eaten by a cougar or
a
bear.
Hello. Bring my whistle.
But it's great, though. The Grouse Grind, for all you listeners out there that don't know about that, go to, I think it's grousemountain.com and check it out. It is quite something to experience.
It's really good for cross training.
Yeah.
You know, it really is to go up the...
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's like 3,000 meters?
It's 2.9 kilometers, but it's almost straight up. Like, it's a 45-degree angle.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
The stairway to hell, huh?
Yes.
So what's the topic today? I think I know what it is, and it sounds good. It's one of my favorites.
Well, I thought it would be very interesting if we could talk about the S word.
The S word?
The S word.
Sounds good so far. What's the S word?
You say it. You say it. You know what? I'm a prude, right? I am a prude, everybody. I'm a prude. Sometimes.
What is a prude? What does that mean? What does it mean when you say you're a prude?
Well, I just think there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes in discussions, I think there's a time and a place for everything. So we're going to talk about the S word. So I'll let you say it, Corey.
S-E-X.
That's
sex.
Sex. Okay. Now, the reason that I want to discuss this is not because we were going to get down and dirty, and because I don't want to do that, being the prude that I am. But I think that there is, with the word sex, there's a dirty connotation to it. Now, don't you agree? Like, people just think of sex as being dirty.
Some people do.
Well, I think most people do.
Well, socially speaking, sure, there's a connotation that associates sex with, you know, prostitution or anything except that which is experienced in love
and marriage and, you know, exactly, and consenting adults, that type of thing. But I think we need to, in our hung up Canadian society, oops, I might get in trouble for that one, but I really don't care anymore, that we are hung up. And I don't mean that I'm talking about free sex and all that type of thing. That's not what I'm discussing. I want to talk about educating kids about sex and what type of information that we should be giving them. Because look at our daughter. She knows more about sex education than most of the kids in her whole school. She's in grade 6. And I even told the teachers that. But to her, we have taught her that sex is not dirty. And also, everybody gets a kick out of this one. I let her know when she's going to have sex. I say, Ruby, we'll discuss it when it's time. And everybody goes, yeah, Tracy. But still, the point is, you need to make it so it's not dirty. Because when I was growing up and going to school, for me, sex was you were a slut or you got pregnant. Nothing in between. That was it.
Well, that's a function of morality and religion and family perception of what sex means and is. And from what I've seen as a professional consulting with people who have health problems, much of what is going on in their head is a function of sexuality that, as a model, was given to them by their parents. And basically, it wasn't a very good model. A lot of people are very uncomfortable talking about sex, and others talk about it too much. You know what they say, the ones that are always talking about it aren't getting it. And the
ones I never talk about it. So there, what does that mean?
Well, there's also those who never talk about it because it's just not part of their mental construct.
Right.
But sex is important to human function. It's a function of procreation. The species can't move forward without sex. And certainly there is a pleasurable side to sex. There is a healthy, sanitized, hygienic aspect to sexual relations. Certainly we know that misconduct from a sexual point of view brings all kinds of sexual diseases.
Yes.
And concerns.
And mental problems, too.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things, I mean, I wanted to ask you was, like, how important is sex to human function, to our function? Is it? Do we have to have it?
Oh, yeah, I got to have it, man. Like, routinely,
well, I'm
regularly.
Trying to make this not...
Well, it depends.
You
if you're a
I mean.
Buddhist
Let's...
monk, maybe not. There are those that promote the concept of retaining the orgasmic release and ventilating that in other ways or means. Perhaps as we move forward and evolutionize as a species, we'll move away from that. I hope not, but I think it's like physical fitness. It's a function of my natural construct, and a lack of sex when the desire is there to have it, or if you have no desire to have sex, is viewed to some degree as being a function of concern from a health point of view, because what you have to use, you should use. It's designed for use. And if you can't use what you have, there's a problem usually.
If you don't use it, you lose it, or something like that.
Exactly.
But also, too, I'm a woman and you're a man. So therefore, you have said to me time and time again, and I wish I understood this when I was younger, is that Tracy, it's like having to go to the washroom. When you got to go, you got to go. Right?
Well, from a guy's point of view,
now,
yeah.
I don't mean to be rude. This is not about being rude. I'm just thinking that this is very important information that we all need to understand, right?
Yeah, well, we're driven by the level of testosterone that we have. Certainly, there's a component of that. We can inject testosterone in women that have no libido, and they become more sexually desirous. So there's certainly something about the effects of testosterone on the brain and on the chemistry. We know that as a man's level of testosterone decreases over time, if he doesn't take care of himself, his sexual desire diminishes. And then there's also something about visual stimulation. Mm-hmm. And part of keeping ourselves in excellent physical shape is that we're able to function from a sexual point of view and enjoy it throughout our lives. But also we ourselves provide a model of attraction to the opposite sex. I've heard a lot of couples say that they have no desire to have
yes.
sex with their spouse because they're not physically attractive.
Yes. Yes. That's very, very common. That's unfortunate. That really is. So we talk about married couples and sexless marriages. I don't know. I guess they must work.
Well, what is work? I mean, if you are in a relationship for a long period of time and celebrate your 50th anniversary, I think that the quality of the relationship and whether or not you're happy in the relationship, and from maybe a guy's point of view, having sex on a routine, regular basis is part of the function of having a relationship with a woman, and
yes.
vice versa. It's
yes.
not always the main thing. It doesn't have to be the central focus, but it certainly is one of the most important aspects of relationship between a man and a woman.
Well, also touching and kissing, right? Doesn't have to be actually coitus, right? That's the word we use.
Reminds me of cactus.
I thought he'd be very professional and say that. Just holding hands, right? Cuddling.
Showing affection.
Just showing affection is very important as well.
Well, for a lot of ladies, that's a major form of foreplay.
Exactly. Yes.
Prelude to sex.
Get the drift, honey.
So, but having sex is in itself, it's a calorie burn. I mean, you expend energy depending upon the length of the experience. And you know what's interesting? I came across a study.
Oh, boy.
And in this one, it's talking about, is pre-competition sex a good thing? And this article basically states that, yeah, it is. If you have sex the night before a race, like this is looking at marathon runners, these people studied the performance of these marathon runners and did a survey. 2,000 runners were in this survey, and those who had sex before the competition ran better than those that didn't. And not only that, 30% of the runners reported that marathon running made them better lovers. So
really?
There's a connection between your physical fitness and your ability to manifest endurance in
right.
sex.
Yes.
And actually physically enjoy the experience of having sex for maybe a longer period of time. And if you're physically fit, you can do that. But also the action of sex itself is a way of staying active on a physical level. So
yes.
it all ties in together.
Yeah.
Now, not all these guys said that sex was good. Some of them said that it drains them. You know, maybe these guys have marathon-like sexual relations. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But certainly a long, prolonged ordeal for many hours is probably not the best thing to do before a major competition.
Oh.
But having sex before a race or competition, you know, brings all kinds of emotional value into
yes.
an individual that
yes.
can make them feel good about
yes.
themselves.
Yes, exactly.
For a lot of men, having sex with the woman they love
mm-hmm.
makes them feel secure.
Right. Yes, exactly. But the thing I think is really important, and what I really want to stress here, is the fact of children growing up. You know, there's all kinds of controversy right now by same-sex marriages and children being raised by two men or two women. You know, there's a lot of controversy about that right now.
Oh, you bet.
You know that we both agree on the fact it's all about love.
Absolutely.
You know, it doesn't just because you have a mother and a father doesn't mean that they're going to give you the proper love.
No, lots of biological fathers beat their kids
right.
and wives and are not the
not
best
even
fathers.
Around.
Yeah.
And this is another reason why there's a lot of promiscuity with women. And I've met women in my life that did not feel loved by their parents. So they sought it elsewhere, which would be in the arms of another person, another man, usually these girls. And it was sordid. And they felt, you know, it was like one night stands and it made them feel worse is what it did. But for that time being, they felt loved. And I think that's such a shame. So this is why I think it's really important for parents to really understand that it's okay to discuss sex and talk in the right terms. Don't say fee, fee, foo, foo or anything. The kids are not stupid. They need to understand the right terminology.
Absolutely.
Right?
Use logic. Use science. Speak to it as if it's not an issue.
No.
Talk
yes.
about it as
Absolutely.
If it's just a routine function of life, that it's an excellent thing. That and also look at the risks and the costs and the benefits and why people use sex as a weapon in relationship
yes.
and why women sell or men sell their bodies
yes.
and why there's a market for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of children move from school into life and they're not prepared to deal with the reality because no one has taken the time, sat them down and said, this is the ABC, and this is my view, and this is the world view, and this is the social view, and this is what the medical texts say.
Mm-hmm.
If we go out into life with the knowledge and we're prepared, my goodness, there's so much time wasted catching up
yes.
with what we
and
don't know.
And I think self-esteem has a lot to do with it, with a lot of aspects in life, you know, especially sexually.
With sexuality and sexual dysfunction.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, children, anybody for that matter, but children need to feel good about themselves. And when they feel good about themselves, they're not just going to give it away or get talked into it. You know, I think it's really important that we instill a good sense of self-esteem in our children. So that's where it starts. And be honest with your kids and be open with your children. Now, that's really off the wall. I know a lot of people aren't going to agree with me.
Well, no, some people are extremely reserved
right.
and they don't talk about sex. They absolutely feel that there should be no sex before marriage, that young adolescents should absolutely not have sex
yeah.
until they're married. Others are totally the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
They think that sex is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
that pornography is acceptable, that having sex is something that develops your character and that the more the better as you go through mm-hmm. men and women in your sexual experience
as long as
that you become.
As long as you're not hurting anybody, right? As long as you're not hurting anybody as consenting adults, that's the most important.
With respect.
Yes.
And nobody gets to hurt anybody.
No.
That's the basic rule, right?
Yes.
Do anything you want, but you're not allowed to hurt anybody.
Yes. And if you know you have some sexual disease or something like that, just abstain. You know, clean yourself up, you know, get well, get healthy. Pump iron.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, isn't that what it's all about?
Well, wellness, health.
Yeah.
And part of the value of being alive. I mean, some people say that, you know, eating is a great pleasure. Going to the bathroom can be a pretty good thing. But
opera sometimes.
Exactly. And for many people, having sex is a wonderful, wonderful experience. Now, it can be taken to the extreme, like training. like dieting. You can get out of control and become a fanatic. And some people actually have a kind of a sexual addiction. Mm-hmm. But in the right context, when it's done at the right time with the right people, it's a wonderful thing. It's a part of a natural, healthy state.
Yes.
And to the people out there that are listening, if you're not experiencing sex and you want to, or if you want to experience sex and you're not able to, I think that you should make an effort to come to terms with what's going on in your mind and really ask yourself, does my body have the capacity to experience sex on the highest possible level? And if not, maybe I should get my body in shape.
Yes.
And also, do I have the right line of thinking in my mind? Do I have respect? Am I suited to attract the kind of person that I'm really wanting to be with?
Exactly. Well, isn't that the way it goes?
But anyway,
it's you know what? I'm not, like I'm saying, I'm not promoting people go out there and talk about sex all the time. But don't be scared to discuss it. Don't be scared to be open about it, because it is a reality of life. It's part of our multifaceted persona.
It's
right?
everywhere.
So we need
it's
to
marketed.
Be marketed. I mean, we don't need to be disgusting about it. I mean, I've got people I know. I mean, I've been to parties and stuff like that, and they're really downright rude about discussing it. And I don't like that. But to me, I think that's pretty disgusting. But they're drunk and having a good old time, so that's what they do. But the point is, just be open about it. Don't be scared to discuss it with your children. And there's a time and a place to discuss it. I don't mean just take them, you know, into the room and away you start talking about it. There has to be like a time and a place. And when the opportunity opens itself up to it, don't be afraid.
That's
and
right.
That's that. That's all I have to say.
So like the man said, sex is natural. Sex is fun. Sex is better when it's one-on-one.
Yeah,
I like that song.
Well, maybe not everybody might agree with that, dear.
No. To each their own.
Exactly.
So stay out of trouble and enjoy life. And part of enjoying life is having sex.
Exactly. And also open your mind. Just open your mind just for a moment and just think about other thoughts about different things, you know. Let's not try to be so closed. I just find that most of the time Canadians are very conservative. Is that the word I'm looking for?
To say the least.
Yes, exactly. So, and I'm prude, and I think that Canadians are conservative. So there you go, dear.
What's that one on Saturday Night Live?
Oh, deep thoughts. Deep thoughts, yeah.
Yes, deep thoughts. Okay. Anyway, that's a deep thought, just thinking about what that deep thought was.
Yeah.
So let's continue on with SNU. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye, sweetie.